Today's daf is Ayin Dalet. We're going to continue with the type of stories we ended with yesterday. Okay. We were in the middle of this story where Rabbi Bar Chana sees this Arab and he was this Arab with these special powers who could tell from touching the land where places were. And then the Arab starts to tell him, I think I actually explained it wrong, I think I said yesterday by accident, the Rabbi Bar Chana asked him to show him Matei Midbar, but it wasn't that. It was that the Arab says, why don't I show you the Matei Midbar? Okay, and we're going to go today, right? We ended with the Matei Midbar. We actually have a little bit left to go on that story, where he saw the Matei Midbar, where the people from the Dor HaMabul had died, and they were lying like drunkards, looking up at the heavens. Which showed that they still believed in God. They were just kind of off the derech, a little bit drunk.
You suggested and that their faces, it showed almost innocence, that their faces were bright and shining like somebody drunk, but it was in a positive way.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It seemed odd.
Yeah, it does seem odd to describe someone drunk in a positive way. Anyway, and then they were, greater than, much, they were bigger than normal. And then we had this part about him taking the tchelet, if you remember. So he takes a piece of tchelet from, okay, so then Rabbi Bar Chana, also here yesterday, I wasn't sure whether it was him or the people he was with, but it was just him. He was alone with this Arab. He takes the piece of tchelet from the tzitzit of one of the people in the Dor HaMabul, and all of a sudden he can't walk anymore, right? And then the Arab says to him, what did you do? What did you take from them? Because if you take something from them, right, if you take this tchelet, you're not going to be able to walk, so you have to return it. So he returns it. Okay, now we're going to end the story. We kind of ended in the middle yesterday. So then he says, Ki atai lekame de rabbanan. We're about 8 lines from the top of the page. Ki atai lekame de rabbanan. So when he came before the rabbis, Amrulo, kol abba chamra v'kol bar barchana sichsa. Okay, basically they're saying any Abba is a donkey, meaning an idiot, and Kol Bar Chana is a fool, is a sikhsa. Okay, so now, who's Abba? Abba is Rabba. Okay, I didn't know this until today, but Rabba is a kitzur for Rabbi Abba. Okay, like Ravina is a kitzur for Rabbi Avina. Like in Aramaic, we see a lot of times they put two words together. So Rabba is really Rabbi Abba. So they say, you're an idiot. So, question is, what was he an idiot about? Lemai hilchata avatachi. For what halacha did you do this? And that's, why did you grab the tchelet? Obviously, you grabbed the tchelet for what reason? You wanted to see, right? We assume you did it. Lemeida ikibet shamai ikibet hillel. You wanted to know if the halacha is like bet shamai or bet hillel. What's the machalacha between bet shamai or bet hillel? You see in the tzitzit when you string it around the corners, there's 4 strings. And you double them, right? You fold them over in half, so you end up with 8 strings at the end of your tzitzit. This is Beit Shammai's opinion. Beit Hillel holds 3 strings, which turn into 6 strings, okay, when you double them. So they said, I assume you were trying to see. Now, what's interesting about this case? It's Dafka we paskin like Beit Shammai, when usually we paskin like Beit Hillel. So maybe that was why he was curious to see, did they always paskin like Beit Shammai? Right, obviously, all this was way before, right? And whether they actually wore tzitzit and strung their strings like we do, but anyway.
You also don't have to take them to count them. He could have counted them on the spot.
So you don't have to take them to count them. And not only that, they're going to say, Ibayalach lemim nechutin ulemim lechuliot. If you were really trying to check the way it was, then you should have checked not only how many chutim, because I guess the assumption was he grabbed the chutim. So it's unclear to me exactly why they're saying this, but what they're saying is it's not the only machloket. There's other machloket. So if you see here the tzitzit, they're tied. Okay, I'm bringing show and tell. After you take the 4 strings and you double them, and then you make a knot, and then you start, there's a whole machloket about how you make these chuliot. These are called the chuliot, the next part of the tzitzit. And you start wrapping around. If you see, there's different numbers of times you wrap the string. You take one of the strings as longer when you string them, and then you wrap it around a few times, and then make a double knot. And then wrap it around another number of times, make another double knot. Okay, so you can see here, there's a bunch of chuliot. So there's a machloket about how many times you wrap the string around, and how many times you make, they call them the joints, or these extra knots. So we said you should have also looked at that. Okay, now how that connects exactly with the statement, there is some other opinion that says that that really they were saying, why did you do this? Because you should have known that taking the tchelet was a no-no, you know, and that you can't do that type of thing. Okay. One second. Right, so the Rashbam explains, in other words, yes, you couldn't walk after you pulled the string, but you should have at least checked everything and seen what they were actually doing before you gave it back. Obviously, you can imagine he was a little freaked out by the fact that he couldn't walk and he just kind of gave it back. And they said, what are you, crazy? You could have found out what all the halal, like you didn't check far enough. So some people say you didn't check far enough, and some people say, no, you dafka, like, shouldn't have done it at all. Or you could also say, means you could have just looked. You didn't have to grab it. You could have just counted how many strings and how many chuliot there were, and then you would have known.
Which suggests that he took it for a different reason entirely.
Right. Could be. Could be he took it for some other reason.
Like a souvenir.
Maybe. It's a little strange, but yes. Okay. Now we're going to continue along with this Arab who's going to now suggest to Rabbi Muhammad other things he can show him. So first he said, I could show you the Matei Midbar, which obviously got him into a little bit of trouble. So interestingly, he's still going to show him other things. Amaleita echvela Har Sinai. I'll show you Har Sinai. Azle chazai dehadrele. By the way, you see this curiosity. In other words, the Arab knows how to get to Rabbi Muhammad. He knows if you suggest showing him all these things, right? It's almost like seeing the dead come alive and seeing, you know, it's like this window into other things. As we can see in the first case, it got a little bit dangerous and you have to be careful with this type of thing. Azle chazai dehadrele akraba. It was encircled by scorpions. V'kaima ki chamre chivarte. And they were standing like white donkeys around the Har Sinai. Okay, some people say this is an analogy for Talmidei Chachamim. Okay. Shamati batko she'omeret Oili shenishbati. He hears this voice come out from heaven that says, "Oi, that I swore." Okay, the assumption is this is God talking. I'm so sorry. I took this shvuah. Nachshav shenishbati mi meferli. And now that I swore, who is there who's going to be right? Who's going to thank you annul my swearing? By the way, you don't really annul shvuot. You can annul nidarim, not shvuot. It's a little bit strange. But he says, now that I swore, who's going to be made for my shvua? Ki atai lekamei derabanan. So when he got before the rabbis, amrule, kol abachamra, kol babrachana sikhsa. Again, what an idiot you are. Hayal chalomar mufarlach. It was begging you to say, mufarlach, you're a chacham, you can be mayfair and neder. You should have just said, mufarlach.
So maybe,
now, the question is,
maybe he's not such a chacham,
right? Okay, but he was a chacham, but they're just saying, I can't believe you were, right, what are they also saying? What they're saying is, you had the opportunity to change, right? It's almost like traveling through time, right? You had the opportunity to change history, to alter, you know, what might have been, or in the first case, it was find out halacha. Here, it was to change history, basically, to basically cancel some shvua. So what's the shvua? So, and why didn't Rabbi Chana mefer it? Hu savar dilma shvuata demabel hu. He thought that maybe God was saying, in a negative way, I'm sorry, first of all, what shvua do we see God taking? So the Rashbam tells us, why do you think it was the mabul? Because it says, asher nishbati me'avor me'noach. Right? It talks about in Yeshayahu about that it was a shvua that God took he swore never to bring a mabul again. And he thought that maybe when he got there, God was saying, I can't believe I swore never to bring a mabul. I'd like to bring another mabul to the world and destroy the world. And that's why he wasn't mefer. But Rabbanan say, but again, you're an idiot because you weren't paying attention to what exactly he said. What did the batkol say? Imkein oili lama. Why did he say oily? That's, oh, woe is to me that I did this. God in general, even if he wants to destroy us, he's not happy about it, right? So he wouldn't say, oh, oily. Oily is when things are bad. So oily is saying, oh, I can't believe I took the shvua to make things bad for the Jewish people. And their assumption is the shvua that sent them into galut. Okay, and the God is saying, I'm sorry I sent them into Galut. And Rabbi Bar Chana, according to this, had the potential to say, Mufarlach, and we wouldn't have gone to, you know, we would have returned from Galut. And instead, he didn't and missed the opportunity. Okay, so these are the two stories where basically they call Rabbi Bar Chana an idiot, which is a little strange again. If he was a great rabbi, why are they calling him an idiot? But again, I think they're showing there was like a missed opportunity here. Maybe he's trying to also talk about missed opportunities and seeing bat kols, and you know, obviously we don't have bat kols, but the point is that there's other things that come our way that we should take to lead us to do the right thing, and we don't always understand what it is that we're, you know, like he didn't really understand what was going on in these cases. Okay. Amarle, the stories continue, okay, although he won't be called a fool again. So now the Arab says to him, I'll show you something else. Okay, so we've shown him so far the Dor HaMidbar. He's shown him Har Sinai. And right, I didn't miss any. Okay, so now he's showing him Belue Korach, de Korach. I'm going to show you where they got swallowed up. Okay, the people who swallowed up in Adat Korach. Chazai Trei Bize, he shows him these two rifts in the ground. Vahava Kamatke Kutra, and smoke was coming out of them. Shaka Gaveva Da'amra. Okay, now we want to make some miraculous showing of something. He takes shearings of wool. Vamshine Bamaya. He dips them in water. Okay, you can imagine, right? Fire and water don't usually mix, right? The water usually puts out the fire. Udatsite Berosha Diromcha. And he sticks it onto the head of a spear, this wet, soaked wool. Va'ayle Hatam. And he puts it inside the rifts. Kiafik, when he takes it out, have ichrichichruche, it was totally burnt up. Okay, even though the water should have put out the fire, instead the fire is mitgaber on the water. Amarli, atzit my shamat. He says, listen to what you hear right now. After he put this in, he says, listen to what you hear. Bishamat avu amrin, he hears that they were saying, Moshe v'torato emet v'hein bada'in. A bunch of different interpretations, but it seems to be saying, I'll go with this one. It made more sense to me. The voices in of the people who were swallowed up, what happened after you get swallowed up, right? You realize the mistakes and the, you know, the mistake of your actions. So they're saying now, Moshe v'torato emet, right? Because what was Korach? He was against Moshe. He wasn't against God. He was against Moshe, right? We're all kadoshim, and why did you make yourself the leader? So now he says, Moshe nistarar emet, v'heim bada'im. And we were mistaken. We were the ones who went off the derech. Amarli, and now the Arab says to him, Kol Talton Yome Mahadule Gehenom Lahacha Kibasar Bekalachat. Okay, let's start from the end. Meat in a pot, what happens? You mix it all the time, right? And what ends up on one side of the pot gets mixed up and ends up on the other side of the pot as you're mixing. So he says, what's going on under this pit is every 30 days they get kind of moved around, okay? And they reappear at this spot, and they every 30 days you can hear them talking. Okay, he obviously knew when was the time to come to this spot to show him the Adat Korach in exactly the moment of once in 30 days. Rosh Bram even says it was Rosh Chodesh. Okay, Dafkan Rosh Chodesh. They come up and they speak. So Gehenom returns them to here once every 30 days. Okay? Ve'amre hachi, and every 30 days they say like this, Moshe v'torato emet v'heim bada'im. Okay, it wasn't just that because Rabbi Bar Chana came, they started talking. It was more that he knew exactly what was the right moment to come when they'd be talking. Okay. Amarli. Again, the Arab says to him, Ta echvelach hecha dinash ke'ara urekia ahadade. I'm going to show you the spot where the land and the heavens meet. Shakalta lesilte. I took, okay, this is Rabbi Khan saying about himself, I took a basket of bread. At nachta bekvata direkia. Okay, by the way, there's a... The Gimel here takes to the Hagahora Bach, and it says, according to the Bach, there's a bunch of words missing, which is Azle v'chazai da'avid kave kave. He showed him that the sky, the heavens, were these windows. Okay? So what did he do? He took a basket of bread and he put it on the window of the Rakia. Adematzlina, in the meantime, he prayed, and when he finished praying, Bi'ite velo eshkachite. He looked for his bread that he put there, and he couldn't find it. Amina lehu, ika gan vehacha? He says, what, are there ganavim here in the heavens? Amar li, hai gilgata dirakiyahu, dehadonata alamachar, again, add the words kihashta, hacha umishkachale. He says the heavenly spheres go around, right, every day. So you left your bread here. If you come back tomorrow at the exact same time, your bread will be back, okay? Because it's what he wanted to really show him is that this, the heavenly spheres are turning. So he brought him to show him. The guy put his bread basket down. It disappeared. He said, ah, come back exactly the same time tomorrow, and you'll see, right? It's like showing him the ways of the world and how it works. Okay, that's the end of these Arab stories. Okay, now we're going to go a little bit more back to the first stories of him where he was, again, it's not going to be him now talking. Now we're going to Rabbi Yochanan and some other people who are going to tell us other things that they've seen, these unbelievable creatures. And we're going to get into the Leviathan, okay, where there's all sorts of stuff about the Leviathan and the kohot of the Leviathan and its giant and it's going to be destroyed at some point. We're going to take, and today we're going to get to Psukim of Iyov. And we're going to try to explain a whole bunch of Psukim in Iyov and some other places that talk about the Leviathan, the Leviathan, and a bunch of other things. This parallel to the Leviathan, there's this huge behemah, okay, they call it the behemah, what's it called? I forget exactly how they call it, they refer to it, but we'll talk about it soon. We'll see it, this behemah that's really great, that's kind of parallel to the Leviathan, one on land, one on sea. And then we'll have Rav Ashi again telling us, oh, that's the animal that we know of, or the, right, okay, he pitches, he's, you know, gives his 2 cents every once in a while. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Mishtai, Rabbi Yochanan told us, Zimnacha dehava kazlina besfinata, I was on a boat. Bechazina nehu kfar, I saw a fish. Da'afke lereshe miyama, he was taking his head out of the water. Again, you have something a little against nature because fish usually keep their heads in water. They can't survive outside of water. So he took his head out of the water. Vahavale carne. No, I skipped it. Sorry, I'm on the next story. Right? I skipped a story. Right. Vidamyan ene ketre sihare. And his eyes look like two moons. Vinafuts maya mitarte zime. And water was spouting out of his gills. Kitre mivre desura. So much water was coming out of his gills that it was like, it was the amount of water of two naharot, two rivers in Sura.
Like the Loch Ness Monster.
Like the Loch Ness Monster, yep. Okay, so again, this unbelievable, right, supernatural type of fish. Rav Safra Mishtai, Rav Safra now tells the story. Zimnacha dehava kazlina besfinata. This is where I got confused because this is the next story. I was going on a boat, v'chazina nu kfara, I saw a fish. De'afke l'reshe miyame, he poked his head out of the water. V'havale karne, and he had horns. Okay, again, something odd for a fish. V'chakikale, and it was engraved on them. Ana bria kala shebayam. I am a small creature of the sea. Okay, we'll see. He was not very small. The Havina Tlat Mea Parse. It's unclear whether this is also written on the Karen or it's they're just telling us. And it was 300 parsaot. Vazlina. Excuse me. Okay. Vazilna Lepuma de Leviathan. And I'm heading toward the mouth of the Leviathan. In other words, I'm this huge, gigantic creature. Okay, even though he says I'm small. I'm small in the water. Why is he saying I'm small? Because the Leviathan is so much greater than me and it's going to basically eat me up, swallow me up. Okay, again, a lot of the Mefarshim talk about that this is really talking about the different nations of the world and how they seem so great, but yet they get swallowed up by other nations and the way of the world. Again, it could be also again about this arrogance type thing, right? That he's saying, I'm so great, right? Maybe he's saying, sometimes we use Lashon Sagi Nahor, I'm the smallest of the sea, right? But I'm 300 parsaot long, right? So he's basically saying, I'm kind of really great, but in the end, I'm going to get swallowed up. Okay, next story. So Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says about this, Hahu Iza di Yamahu. Okay, this is, it's called a goat of the sea. Okay, the Rashbam says something interesting. If you look 3 lines from the bottom, Iza di Yama, Shekoma sheyesh bayabasha yesh bayam, chutz min achulda. B'shchitat chulin. It says in chulin, apparently, that all animals that exist on land also exist in the sea, and that this is the goat of the sea. There's like a parallel to every animal in the yam, in the land, in the sea. Okay, again, what you make of it. I think it's just also trying to connect between yam and water, and the previous story. And again, I didn't talk about this, but we talked about yesterday with the Yam, the Rakia, and the Yabasha. And here the story was about, you know, I want to see the point where the Rakia and the Yabasha meet, and here the Yam and the Yabasha, and, you know, kind of talking about things that can exist on both, right? Like the fish, and then the connection between the fact that there's things on land that parallel things on the sea. Anyway, all different concepts along those lines. Okay, Lepuma de Leviathan. Okay, and this Iza de Yama, what do we know about him? De Bechisha, it searches around, Ve'ile Karne, and it has karnaim, it has horns. Rabbi Yochanan Mishtai, Rabbi Yochanan again tells the story. Zimnechada, hava chazinan besfinata, v'chazinan ha'u karlita. Okay, I saw a crate. Okay, we were in the water and we saw a crate. It had all these jewels, right? This classic. In the sea, there's a treasure chest at the bottom of the sea. And there are all these sharks encircling. By the way, I want to just point out now and keep it in mind, this word hadre, encircling, comes up in many, many of these stories. Okay, sometimes, right, the Akrabim were around the Har Sinai. We're going to see it in a whole bunch of stories. I can't remember if we saw it yesterday, but clearly in today's daf, there's a lot of this encircling, and it seems to be a type of protection, right? So especially if we say those Akrabim were protecting Har Sinai, right? They were like a siman for the Talmidei Chachamim. Here we have these krishim, the sharks that are protecting this treasure chest. And we're going to see it in a lot more stories. Nachi bar emorai, which means a diver. Some people say it's amodai, which comes from, I think, the Syrian word or something I saw in the Quran. They gave the etymology for it, that it means to dive, that root. So anyway, so a lot of times resh and dalet get switched. But a diver came along, latuye, to get the treasure chest, right? So here are these sharks encircling this treasure chest. Diver comes down, tries to take the treasure chest. Viragash. Okay, the shark got very angry. Ubay l'shamte la'atmian. He tried to grab his thigh, okay, the thigh of the diver, to bite him. V'shada zika dechala. So what did the diver do? I don't know how he had vinegar on hand, but he takes vinegar and he throws it at the shark, and the smell of the vinegar scares away the shark. V'nachat. And the shark goes back down to the depths of the water. So now, okay, so here the sharks were protecting it, right? Again, it really sounds like this Indiana Jones movie, right? So the sharks are protecting this thing. The diver figures out how to get rid of the sharks. And now, okay, what's left? So no sharks protecting it anymore. Nafik batkala, but now a batkol comes out. Amarlan, right? You can imagine, by the way, I'm making these jokes about Raiders of the Lost Ark and all those movies, but clearly they took their stuff from these sources. You know, I'm sure they saw sources like this and stories that were, you know, abound. I'm sure whether the stories they saw were based on these Talmudic stories, but for sure there's, you know, like with we saw these stories with the Aron Kodesh also about the magical powers it had, and that's where that stuff is based on. All these movies are based on traditional sources. So whether the sources they are taking were Jewish sources or other sources, but they were based on our sources also, or our sources maybe parallel Christian sources about things. So anyway, it's the same kind of genre. Nafik bat kala va'amarle. My ilchu bahade kartlita. What are you doing? What's your business getting to this treasure chest? Because this isn't yours. Did debitu to Rabbi Chanina bar Dosa. This belongs to the wife of Rabbi Chanina bar Dosa. What's this? Da'atida deshad yitchel taba letzadike la'alma da'ate. In the future, she's going to put tchelet in here and have the tchelet to make the tzitzit for the tzadikim in the olam haba. Okay, kind of strange what this is exactly. This goes back with, we mentioned one of the themes that the Rashbam, I think, had mentioned, was that one of the themes we see here is what's waiting for tzadikim in the olam haba. And this is one of those stories which is saying that there's something special treasure waiting for the tzadikim in the olam haba, and therefore you can't touch this because it's waiting there for the tzadikim. What else do you see here? Okay, apropos women, that women can make tzitzit because she's got the tchelet for the rabbis for their tzitzit, right? To make the tchelet for the rabbis and to make their tzitzit. So you can learn that, you can derive that potentially from here too, although you could say that rules in Olam Abba. But there's all these sources that show that there were women who made tzitziot in the past. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Hindua, right? He was from Hindua. Mishtai, he told us now. Zimnachada havazlina besfinata. All these stories start with the exact same words. One time we were on a boat. Bechazinan hu eventova. There was a special rock, okay, similar to this treasure full of rocks. Now it's just a particular rock, okay, which had special powers, and therefore to have a hadir bit latanina. There was a snake encircled around it, protecting it. Nachibar morala tuye, same type thing. The diver dives down to get it. Atatanina. So the snake comes and wants to swallow up the boat. Ata pishkansa, we saw this yesterday, the raven comes. Paske lereshe, bites off the head of the, right, cuts off the head of the snake and kills the snake. Okay. Now, by the way, the snake, you know, what's the word? Makes us think about Adam HaRishon, right? The Chet Adam HaRishon, and wanting to get to things that you shouldn't be getting to, right? And here the snake...
The opposite.
Exactly. Here what's interesting is the opposite. The snake is preventing Adam from getting there, okay? However, and here also the snake gets taken over by somebody else. So the raven comes, bites the head of the snake. Here we have a reference to Mitzrayim. Itapichu maya v'havu dama. The water all turns to blood because of the snake, okay? Because the snake now cut off its head, it's now bleeding all over, and the water now becomes dam. Ata tanina chavre, now it feels like a game of tag, okay? The tanin, a new snake comes, his friend, shakle, he grabs the stone, vitalele, and he throws it on the tanin, he hangs it on the snake, the dead snake, v'chaya, and he brings the snake back to life, right? If you get out and tag, right, and your friend tags you, he brings you back to life. So same thing here. The snake basically, you know, helps his friend. He sticks the special rock on his neck, and he comes back to life. So now the snake is back protecting the rock. Hadar ata kabai bala l'sfinata. Again, he wants to swallow up the sfina so that this diver doesn't go get the rock. Hadar ata tzifra. Now a bird comes. Paske lereshe. Interesting that the birds are always the one that, you know, biting off the heads. So, bites off the head of the snake again. Shaklua lahi eventova. Takes this even. Now, this time, instead of the diver going to get it, the bird brings the rock to the diver. Okay, what's interesting here, again, if you try to think of the nimshal, about what this is representing, right, someone's trying to get to it. They can't get to it themselves, but somebody helps them get it. Shadua lesfinata. She throws it into the boat. Habuhanu tzipore melicha bahadan. They had all these salted birds with them in the boat. Otvinu alayhu. So the people put, okay, now here you see. So what happened? They had all these birds on the boat. Why are there birds on the boat? Salted birds? For their food. Okay? But now they kind of want to test out the magic and see how it works. So what they do? They put it on the birds that were dead in their boat. Shaklua. Uparke luhu bahada. Okay, so now what happens? The birds come back to life and they fly away. And they basically lost their food.
And the stone.
And the, right.
It says flew off.
Oh, right. That's true. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, what's that word, shaklua? You're right. They took the stone with them and they flew off with it. Okay? So you see here that, again, this magical stuff, right? Maybe you shouldn't really have it. And maybe it's, maybe almost it's a little dangerous. Some of the, by the way, there's a few different things I saw among the Mefarshim about what they think this rock is. So one is obvious that it's Torah, basically. And the birds carry away the Torah with them. They're representative of the Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, which in essence is almost saying, we're leaving the Torah in the hands of the Talmidei Chachamim and other people, right? It's almost like that approach that you should be careful who you teach Torah to because they might take it the wrong way and it can only be left for the special people. And that's why the birds also are the ones who have the power to kill the snake, right? They're the stronger ones who don't succumb to the Yetzer Hara, right? If you look at the snake as the Yetzer Hara from the Adam and Chava story, so basically only the birds are the ones who know how to conquer the Yetzer Hara. Other people say that the Evan is Chochmah, and that only through great effort can you actually get this Chochmah. And you can't get it easily. And if someone else gives it to you, right, that's not the way it's going to work either. You can try to take the analogy that way, or you can take the story to some other direction. Like I said, I don't have the answers to these stories and exactly what they're doing here, but try to think of interesting ideas that come out of it. Tana Rabbanan. Maaseh b'Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Yoshua, shayu ba'im b'sfina. Okay, they were in a boat. V'hayah Rabbi Elazar yashem v'Rabbi Yoshua no'or. Rabbi Elazar was asleep, Rabbi Yoshua was up. Nizdazer Rabbi Yeshua. All of a sudden, he's shocked by something. V'nina Rabbi Eliezer. And he wakes up Rabbi Eliezer. Amar le, maze Yeshua. Mipnei man nizdazata. What are you so scared about? Amar le, ma'or gadol ra'iti bayam. I saw this gigantic light in the sea. Amar lo, shema enav shel Livyatan ra'ita. Maybe you saw the eyes of the Livyatan. Dichtiv enav ka'afafesh shachar. Its eyes are like the eyelids of the morning, which have great light. Okay, I assume it's like the sun rising. Okay, so maybe you saw this unbelievable, right, this Livyatan. Amar vashi. Amar lihuna bar natan. Zim nechada havazlinam bamidbar. One time we were in the midbar, in the desert. V'havei itma debistra bahadan. We had a thigh of meat with us. Patachna unikrina. We opened it and took out the gid hanasheh and the chelev, the parts, the forbidden parts. V'ancha isve, and we put it on the grass. Adamaitinan sive, by the time we brought wood, chalam itma, it healed itself again. Which I think it means like the parts came back that were missing. V'tavinan, and we roasted it. Ki hadran lebatar tresa yarche shata, and when we came back after 12 months to the same spot, chazinu lahanu gomre, we found the coals that we roasted this meat on, dehavu kamalachshe, they were still glowing. Okay, so something miraculous happened there with that meat. Ki ata lekameda amemar, we went to amemar and we asked him what was this all about. Amarli, hahu isva samterehava. That grass that you put it on is like a drug of life. And hanu gomre deritmahavu. And the coals that you use were made from this broom plant that they would make coals with, and they stay on fire for a very long time. So again, some supernatural story of some special drug that can make things last for a long time. Vayivra Elohim et ha-taninim ha-gdolim. Okay, so God creates these taninim ha-gdolim, right? This is from Bereshit. Okay, what are these taninim ha-gdolim? Now we're going to get to this. Ha-chatirgamu arzilai diyama, which is the sea oryx. Rabbi Yochanan amar zel livyatan. This is the livyatan. Okay, when they talk about the taninim ha-gdolim, a lot of the Mefarshim say this is the livyatan. Nachash b'riach, who's a nachash b'riach, he's a serpent, a slant serpent. Leviathan nachash akalaton, and it's also a torturous serpent. Shenemar, how do we know this? Okay, interestingly enough, they only quote the beginning of the pasuk. So if you have the Torah, or look at the whole pasuk, it's pasuk in Yeshayahu kaf zayin pasuk aleph. Bayomahu yifkod Hashem becharbo hakasha vahagdola vahchazaka. Okay, on that day, God is going to take His sword and go against, fight against the Leviathan. Nachash bariach. Here you have it. He's called they translate it as slant serpent. The Aliv Yatan Nachash Akalaton, here they call it the torturous serpent. Beharaget HaTanin Asher Bayam, and he killed the Tanin which is in the sea. Now there's a bit of something a little extra here, because it says he's going to kill the Leviathan, and then it says Beharaget HaTanin Asher Bayam. So what's this talking about? So we're going to see this pasuk in a minute. In the meantime, they brought it to show that the Leviathan is both a Nachash Bariach and a Nachash Akalaton. Amar v'yuda marav. Koma, now we're going to see what's different between this Leviathan, and we're going to talk about this other behemah that we're going to see. Koma shabara kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo, zacharu nikeva bra'am. Everything God created in the world, He created it, male and female, in order to reproduce. Af Leviathan nachash bariach, Leviathan nachash akalaton. Even the Leviathan that was nachash bariach and nachash akalaton, which is very dangerous, Zacharu nekeva b'ra'am. They were also created to reproduce. The ilmalein is kakin zelaze. But were they to really reproduce, machrivin kol ha'olam kulo. They would destroy the entire world. The world was full of Leviathanim. Right? You ever noticed you've never seen a Leviathan, right? So this is going to be why. Okay? This is, by the way, a great explanation if you want to talk about extinction, right? How animals become extinct. This is basically a religious explanation, I don't know if the word is religious, but theological explanation for extinction, according to the Gemara. So what happens? God said, if I let them reproduce, they're going to destroy the world. Masa, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Siresa tazachar, he castrates the zachar, beharag hanikeva. Okay, castrating the zachar wasn't enough. He had to also kill the nikeva. Umacha, And he salted the nekeva. Here we go. Let tzadikim latid lavo. Okay, and the tzadikim are going to eat from the Leviathan. Right? This is also comes. This is the same root for the source for what we say the sudal shel Leviathan. I don't know if you know about this minhag, but the last meal you eat in the sukkah on Hoshana Rabbah, there's a text that people say, which is, you know, they're going to benefit from the orosh of Leviathan, right? That we'll sit in the sukkah that's made of the ore of the Leviathan. That in the world to come, the Leviathan is going to serve man. It's really what it's saying is, right, the Leviathan is, in this world, a scary being, but in the world to come, the Leviathan is going to be used to serve man. And that's the same genre as these stories. Okay, and how do we know this, that the Nekeva was killed? Because Shenemar Varagat HaTanin Asher Bayam. Now this is why it was duplicated in the Pasuk. The first part of the Pasuk is saying, on that day in the future, God's going to kill the Leviathan. But then it says, Varagat HaTanin Asher Bayam sounds like, but he had already killed the Tanin Asher Bayam. So they say the Tanin is the female Leviathan, which God already killed in the past. Okay, now we're going to talk about these, here I got the word, I forgot what it was called, but now the Behemot Baharare Eleph. Okay, in the thousand mountains. The behemot baharei elef are these, also this huge behemah. You could sort of take the Rashbam and say, just like, right, the animals all have their parallel in the yam and the yabasha, so here's the parallel to the Leviathan on land. At behemot baharei elef zacharu nekeva b'ra'am. We're going to see a very similar thing, but there's going to be a big difference here. V'ilmalein is kakin zelazeh. If they were to actually reproduce, machrivin kol alam kulo. So, Me'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Seres HaZachar V'tzinen HaNekeva. V'shmara La'atzadikim La'atid Lavo. He didn't kill the Nekeva, he froze the Nekeva. Okay, which is different than killing it, right? Freezing is something you could theoretically undo. But it's also, she's being saved La'atid Lavo. Sh'ne'emar Hinena Kocho B'motnav. When it's describing this behema, okay, here's a pasuk from Eov. That's where, right, we get our Eov psukim about these creatures they talk about, which we don't really know about so much otherwise. So it says about this behema that, I just lost the pasuk, here. Hinena kocho b'monav. The zachar has its koch b'monav, okay? It's got its ability to reproduce. Ze zachar. Ve'ono b'shrirei b'tno. But its strength is hidden in the shrimim of its bet, and it never comes out. Why does the male strength never come out? Because the female is not capable of reproducing, because the female is frozen. Okay? In other words, it can't let out its koch to have children, so, or to reproduce. So therefore, they say, it doesn't say anywhere, right? So zon nekeva, okay? This ono b'shura b'tno shows that the nekeva was frozen. And it shows, though, that there was never a pasuk that talks about the nekeva being killed, like the Leviathan. Therefore, she wasn't killed, she was just frozen. So now they suggest, Hatam Nami, Lisrase Lizachar, Velitzane Nekeva. Why didn't they do the same thing for the Leviathan? So what do they say? Dagim Pritse Viliavid. Dagim are very parut, they're very easily reproduced. So they were concerned if they froze the female, God was concerned if he froze the female, that wouldn't have been enough. Somehow they'd be able to manage and reproduce anyway, whereas behemot don't have that strength. Dagim pritze, period. Sorry, I read it wrong. So dagim are very paruts. So now they say, v'le'avid ibcha. Why don't we do the opposite then? So why don't we say, let's kill the nekeva of the behema. And as we understand why we couldn't freeze the nekeva of the Leviathan. But why don't we do the opposite and kill the nekeva of the behema? Ibait ema nekeva malicha male. Maybe the salted, what was the same about both? They were saving them for tzadikim la'olam haba. So salted fish is good, but salted meat isn't good. Okay, right? Usually you have salted, like salted fish that you just, you know, like a herring. Okay, but they don't generally do that with meat. So that's what they're basically saying. And whereas the meat, I guess, was better if they kind of froze it. I don't know exactly. Okay, ibait ema. Kigon dichtiv kevan dichtiv Leviathan ze yatzarta l'sachek bo b'hadin akeva lav orch ara. Right, so they say the Leviathan was meant to as an animal for him to play with, but yeah. So therefore, I'm trying to remember how this connects to the answer to this question.
Mm-hmm. Not appropriate to play with a female.
So that's why they had to kill the female, yeah, but they could have frozen it, no?
No, but maybe it's harder to freeze a fish.
But I guess they're saying, why didn't they freeze the Leviathan? And that's because, I don't know.
It just says it's not proper to make sport with a female fish. So.
The Leviathan is misachek bo, they say, is bayam, in the water. And then, I don't know.
You know what's interesting? It doesn't say who's saying all these perushim.
These are just coming without names of rabbis, you're saying.
Yeah.
No, this is Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. This is all said in the name of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. But then the questions that they ask, that's true. The questions that they ask are just being answered. That is accurate. Which, by the way, sometimes when they add these things, it's I don't know if this is true in this case. Sometimes it's Svaraim. It's later people that are adding their Perush to this, which is definitely a possibility. As the rabbis had these stories, the Amoraim, and then the next generation of the Svaraim, the next Tkufa, was trying to make sense of it. That's definitely a possibility. Okay. Hachanami lemilche l'nekeva. So, one second. Right, so now they say, why don't you salt the nekeva, right? So, right, why didn't he kill the Leviathan, the nekeva of the Leviathan? Oh, this is where it says, I misunderstood. Let me go back. This is where it says, melicha male bisra melicha lo male. Okay, sorry. I said it wrong before. When I said Malicha Ma'ale before, it was not the same answer. Okay, let me go back and get this straight. First, the question is, Lavit Ifcha, why didn't he kill the Zachar? That's what the question was. I missed it. Okay, it was the other question. This question comes, the question I said, it was actually a later question. Maybe now it'll make more sense. The first question is, why didn't he kill the Zachar and leave the Nekeva alive? That's why it answers the question. Now I get it. Okay, I had the wrong question. The Ipcha wasn't between the Leviathan and the Behemah. It was, why didn't God do the opposite? Why didn't it freeze the Zachar and kill the Nekeva? And that's because the Nekeva Malicha Ma'ale, Nekeva tastes better salted than the male, okay? And the second answer is because it says, Leviathan Zeyasarta L'Sachekbo, Leviathan was created for God to play with it, and it would be inappropriate for God to play with a female, right? This is the If you saw that God is male, you would say, therefore, he wanted to leave alive the male and not the female. Okay, now it makes sense. This next question is, Hachanami limlechei l'nekeva. Now, why didn't we salt the nekeva of the Leviathan? And that, the nekeva, right, right, of the Leviathan, because the Leviathan was the one that was killed and salted. Oh, no. So, right, salted, yes. I was thinking of the freezing. Why did we salt the Nekeva of the Leviathan? We didn't salt the Behemah. And that's because Kfar Malicha Ma'ale and Bishra Malicha Lo Ma'ale. Okay, the salted fish tastes good and salted meat does not taste good. Okay, so I mixed it up the first time. Okay, continuing along. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. V'sha'a shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu levrot et ha'olam, amar lo lasar shel yam p'tach picha u'bala kol meimot sheba'olam. He said, in order to create the Yabasha, what did he say? He said to the Sar of Yam, open up your mouth and swallow up all the waters. Amar lefanav, ribono shalom, dai shamo b'sheli. He says, sorry, but I'm the Sar of the Yam. Who are you to tell me what to do? I'm going to stand on my own. Miyab ba'at bo v'harago. God then kills him. Shene amar b'kocho raga yam u'b'tfono machatz rahav. Okay, with his strength. The yam was calmed, and with his again, a pasuk from Iyov, with his knowledge,
wisdom,
or some type of wisdom, machatz rav, he smote Rahav. Amar b'Yitzchak, shma mina, sarosh shel yam Rahav shmo. What it means, right, the Rahav is the sar of the yam. Vilma, now, what's the problem? God kills the sar shel yam, where's his dead body, his corpse? In the yam. Well, that's going to reek, right? Imagine a sar of yam, dead, right, for all those years. Disgusting smell. Okay, the water, without the water covering it, no one would be able to tolerate the stench. Etc. One second. This pasuk is, right, Ki mal'aha aretz de'at Hashem. Kamaim layam mechasim. Okay, the world is full of God's wisdom, which covers up the water. Okay, like it covers. It's what are they really saying? The world is full of wisdom. The way the water fills the world, right? The way water covers water. Al tikre la yam mechasim, ela lisarash al yam mechasim. But now it says the wisdom of God covered, right? In his wisdom, he was smart enough to cover up the smell of this yam, the sarshal yam. Va'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, Yarden yotze mimarat pamyas. Okay, here in the Shansin, you have a good map of all these places. The Yarden comes out from the pamyas. Tanya namihachi, Yarden yotze mimarat pamyas. U'mahalech biyamash al sibchi. Now we're just describing the way the waters go. It goes from the Chula Lake, Ubiyamashal Tveria, the Kinneret, Umitzgalgil v'yored l'yamagadol. Okay, my daughter just went rafting this week in the Yarden, right? So you could kind of see this path they're discussing. Umitzgalgil v'yored ad shemegia, but here's the important part, why are they bringing it up? Ad shemegia l'pivshal Leviathan. And all that water goes into the mouth of the Leviathan, and that's what keeps the Leviathan alive. Shenemar, Yivtach, he's confident, ki agiach Yarden el piu, because the Yarden comes into his mouth. Again, one of those incomprehensible psukim from Eov, they explain. Okay? So the Yarden comes into its mouth. Matkifla Rava Barula, Haiba Behemot Bahare Elef Ktiv. But wait, that pasuk is not talking about the Leviathan. It's talking about those Behemot, the Bahare Elef, that grand Behemah. Elam Rava Barula, E Matai Behemot Bahare Elef Betuchot. When are the Behemot Bahare Elef confident in their survival? Bizman Shemigiach Yarden Bepivsha Leviathan. When the waters go into the mouth of Leviathan. Now, there's a bunch of different explanations given, but either you say they're parallel, and if the Leviathan is sustained, then the Behemot are sustained, or you say that in the future, one of the descriptions in the Midrashim are that the Leviathan and the Behemah are going to fight against each other. And as long as the Leviathan is getting its water, it's busy surviving and drinking its water, and it's not going to go fight against the Behemah. This is also a good analogy for life, right? When people are confident in where they are and they're good, they don't start fighting against others, right? They don't start up wars. But when things are bad, that's when wars start going. So kol od the Leviathan is okay and drinking its water and happy with life, then the Behemah is going to survive because the Leviathan won't go after it and kill it. Okay, we'll stop here for today.